Hello and welcome to Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators, a podcast where we inspire, motivate, encourage, and also give you practical tips to live your dream life here and now. I am your host, Alinka Tercic, and today I am talking with Coral Bell. Hey, Coral.
Hi, Alinka.
Thanks for being my guest. Coral is my fellow vision board coach, but today we are not talking about vision boards, right?
Well, we are vision boards, dream maps. It's just a different name.
Right. But you started doing, dream maps. You started doing vision boards a bit differently. So can you share with us what you're doing and how your vision boards or your dream boards are different from what we see or hear mostly on what we are doing, you know, with others?
Okay. Thanks, Alinka. I discovered that working with horses has actually made a huge difference to the results and the way that people were creating their dream maps. So what I do when the people first arrive, at the moment I'm doing them online, so the people first arrive, we go and we work with the horses. It's not a matter of riding the horse. Nobody actually has to ride the horse. In fact, the horses are not even prepared to be ridden. It's a matter of getting to know the horses and working with the horses. And then we go into the process of creating the dream maps. And then halfway, once the dream map is created, before we actually get to the whole reason and what you're wanting to create from your dream map, we go and work with the horses again. And there's so many different ways that you can work with the horses, different techniques, whether it's just grooming. The lady who owns the horses and keeps the herd has got different techniques because she uses it for equine assisted therapy for autistic and other forms of working with children and adults. But the best thing about horses is that horses are sentient beings. In other words, horses have feelings and they pick up on our feelings and our emotions. So when you go there, if you are in your head and you're busy and you're distracted, the horses are going to pick up on that and they're going to walk away from you and you're not going to be able to interact with the horses. So you have to drop all your nonsense and all your stuff in order to interact with the horses, because otherwise, you're just going to be walking around the arena with us. The horse is going to keep walking and you're going to keep walking behind. The horse is not interested in your nonsense. So as soon as you can become present and just stand there, the horse will most probably just come to you and want to interact with you. And it just gives you that. There's no other way I have found of getting people who are unaware of being in the moment and being present to actually do it without taking them through a whole long process, which could be maybe even as long as an hour sometimes, where with a horse, within a minute or two, you know that you are either present or you're not present, and you just have to drop your stuff and get present. Otherwise, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, because oftentimes people think that vision board or dream map is just you glue together or even copy paste from the internet or put on the Pinterest board, you know, everything that you come across without. But that's just a small percentage of all the work that you have to do if you really want to create an effective vision board. But how did you stumble to do this? Did you do a work with horses before in a different, you know, for a different purpose maybe?
Yes, I think I did. I was doing, and as with most of the stuff, I've learned through doing it for myself. And I had some issues that I needed.
Happens.
Yes. I had some issues that I couldn't find a way to resolve them. And the lady who owns these horses said to me, come and work with the horse. And I went on two occasions. And the first occasion, I was so completely blown away by what the horse actually showed in a nonverbal format as to what I was carrying. And just the horse was there for me. The horse was the one who was going to take that emotional burden from me and just dissipate it, dissolve it. It went. He carried it for me. And the second time I went back, I think I just sobbed all over that poor horse. He was wet. But the release and the emotional change and shift that I experienced with that, I thought, if I can do that in, and that was 2 half-hour sessions, if that can work like that for me, why can't it work with the dream mapping, where I'm wanting a quick way to get through to people and to get them to drop their stuff? And if they're carrying stuff that needs to be resolved, the horses are going to either going to take it from them, but they're going to understand what they've released. It's not a case of, oh, well, I'm just taking over the stuff for you and you don't know what's being fixed. There will be an understanding of what is happening, or it will highlight for them an area that they may need to work on, and maybe why they're not getting to what they're trying to manifest with their dreams and their goals.
So do you have any procedure or exercises or anything that you guide your students and horses to do, or is it just the interaction and, you know, just being present in each other's presence?
The first part is mainly just being present with the horses, but the first part is generally where you go and groom the horses. Horses love to be touched. They'll touch one another. They normally nibble on one another, which can be quite sore if you're not a horse. But there's various brushes and ways of, even as I say, just stroking the horse and just actually being with the horse and feeling, sort of rubbing your hands across their body is generally the first exercise that we do. One of the other exercises that we did, in fact, the last time that I ran the workshop, they worked in pairs, 2 people to a horse. One person was blindfolded and just using her hands to touch and feel the horse and found out what emotions came up. And then to write a label, obviously she took the blindfold off, wrote on a label and stuck it on that part of the horse. And I mean, they're not really sticky labels. They're not harming the horse in any shape, way or form.
Right.
And afterwards to go through and say, okay, well, what did you pick up? What emotion did you pick up in what part of the horse? And the insights that the people got from that. I can't remember them all because I try not to keep all other people's processes in my head.
Of course.
But the people were completely blown away. There's one particular horse, his name is Jemba, and he loves working with people. He lives to work with people. But this particular time, he decided, no, he was an outsider. He was not going to be in the arena. He would be on the outside. And he's a bit of a pushy horse. He's a horse that's known for working with people who don't have boundaries. So if you do not have boundaries, Jemba is going to come and he's going to push and push and push until you realize, hang on, I'm getting pushed around. I need to stand on my ground. So he'd been doing a little bit of this in the first part of the day with one or two of the ladies. And they kind of, okay, well, he's just pushing boundaries. So the second time he tried to do it, and he stamps his foot. But he stamped it very gently. If you've ever had a horse stamp your foot, you're going to know all about it. He picked his foot up and he put it down on this other lady's foot. And she's like, no, Jemba, I know what I'm doing. Stop pushing, stop pushing. And the lady who owns the horses said, no, he's agreeing with what I have just said. It's his way of affirming that what I've just said and what you uncovered is the truth.
Wow.
And suddenly it shifted, and this lady completely changed. The person that had arrived that was kind of loud, and her energy was all over the place, and she was difficult to integrate into the class. She suddenly just got it, and you could see everything just dropped. She breathed, and she was a different person for the rest of the workshop.
Wow.
Yeah, those are the sort of things, and I love seeing those sort of things happen. It's not me having to do the work. It's just, I'm just facilitating bringing those two together.
Yeah, because it really doesn't matter what you do, you know, as long as you get the results. If you get to work with beautiful horses, you know, it's even better, right?
Absolutely, yes.
What about people that are afraid of horses, or, you know, they are afraid?
Honestly, these horses work with little kids, kids that are just old enough to walk. So toddlers, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, and there's miniature horses there as well as full-size horses. And there is actually no need, you don't even have to be in the arena with a horse. And in fact, when you're working with pairs, somebody's holding the horse anyway. But these horses are, because they work with children, they are so, so gentle. And they're not overpowering. And apart from Jemba, who pushes with boundaries, none of the horses will push. They will respect, and they will see if a person is afraid. They will, it's just the way they approach that person. And you most probably will find that if there's a person who's really afraid of horses, the smallest horse, who's a miniature horse, and her name is Bella, she will come forward and she will interact. She's the size of a great, well, in fact, maybe even smaller than a Great Dane. She's not threatening in any way or shape or form. So the horses, and that's why when, let's say there were five of us working, there would be five horses in the arena, but suddenly one of the horses would choose either Luck Jemba to not be in or I need to be in. And the lady who runs the court of the horses has learned that she doesn't argue with them. If that horse has decided they need to be there or not be there, then it's for a reason. And it's slowly through the day, it'll unfold and you'll see what the reason is.
Wow. So that is the first part of your, let's say, workshop, that people, you know, relax, get clear on their limitations and their, you know, what they're carrying around. And then what do you do then?
Then we basically go into the dream board itself, pulling out the pictures, taking out the, and I always encourage people to pull pictures out of magazines, rip out whatever they're looking at, and then later on we sit down, cut it out, and paste. And the first thing that I ask them to do when we paste pictures on is spread everything out on the floor and stand and look at it, look away, and then look back down. And the first picture that stands out to them, the picture that they feel represents them, goes in the middle. And that is in the middle of your piece of paper. And whether you have just a normal size piece like I've got behind me, you can have two or three or four pieces depending on how many pictures they've got. And then everything goes around, so that everything is around what represents you and that central part of it. And that is how, and then we work from there. And last time I had, there was a bit of a competition almost between some of the ladies. And it just worked out that it was all ladies as this particular group. And the one lady had very few pictures that she pulled out of the magazines. And she's like, oh, but I feel, you know, she felt inadequate. She felt that she should have had more pictures. Everybody else has got these piles and they're ripping out pages out of the magazines and they're really going. And she's got this small little thing. And I said to her, but don't judge yourself by what the others are doing. And this is something as well that they learn with the horses. The horses will say, you know, all the horses are there and they're all equal as far as they're concerned. Yes, there's a hierarchy in the horses, but that's just the way the herd works. And it changes, the dynamics change sometimes. And I said to her, don't judge yourself by what others are doing. So she was even getting another little lesson on how she goes about life, about looking, well, everybody else is doing this, I should be doing the same thing. So, yeah.
And I know exactly what you're talking about, because when we have a workshop, I often notice this, how people are comparing and what others are having on their vision boards, or even, you know, no one's having it. Should I put it, or should I just, you know, neglect it or hide it? Or, you know, in one occasion I had, you know, a pair doing their vision board, and husband pulled out a nice Mercedes Benz, and, you know, wife was, oh no, we can't afford it. Don't put this. And yeah, going into dreams and visions and, you know, dreaming big and everything, we are limiting ourselves. So I think that you working with the horses, you help people work on that as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I love, I've had a couple as well on a workshop, and we actually turned the dream board into a joint thing. And I made them choose from each other's pile as to what was going to start the thing. And it had a huge impact. And even afterwards, they said it was such a nice way of looking and kind of revisiting their relationship as well. I mean, they've been married for, I know they've got two little girls sort of early school age. So they've been together for a while. And it was just kind of refreshed and renewed a whole lot of stuff within their relationship as well. So yes, it might just be, by the look of it, a whole bunch of pictures stuck on a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, exactly. So when they create a vision board, what's next?
Once they've created it, then that's when I got to start working again, and I then ask them about what they've put up, and out of it, I ask them, and we create what I call a wildly inspired goal, something that is going to fire them up, something that is going to make them feel a little bit scared, to get them out of their comfort zone again. This is all shifting comfort zones a lot in this thing. And just what is their big vision for this? Where do they want to go? It's not just, oh, well, I'm looking for a new job and this is the money I want and this is the car I want and this is where I want to live. It's bigger than that. And it's not necessarily something that's going to be achieved in a day or a year or 6 years, or it can be. What drew me to vision boards was right in the beginning when I first did mine. I had no idea what I was going for. I went to this workshop. I was, again, looking for answers for myself. So fine, I'm going to this, and off I go, and I'm just following instructions, and I do this creation, and 6 months afterwards, I looked back at it, and I could have gone with a sticker and said, tick, 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 all the things that I had put on this vision board, I had created, and I had in my life, and it's not the first time it's happened.
Of course, I have some great stories too, but do you think, you know, regarding this results, do you think that you were not dreaming big enough?
That first one that I had with those huge results, because the lady that was facilitating the group, she makes us all stand up in turn and say, what is our dream? What is our goal? Mm. And I promise you, in that one, I ducked and dived. I think there were about 30 of us in the room, and I kind of hid behind the one person and hid behind the next person. And I still remember I was right at the end, and then, of course, you know, you have to stand up. And when we got to it, I was in tears. It absolutely blew me away. But it's the big part of the goal, the one which is my whole thing of shifting perspective globally, that's what I'm still working on. So it's, although what was on the board came true, the whole reasoning behind it and the whole global idea of it is still, it's still ongoing. And that's why even when people say to me, but has yours ever come true? And I'm like, I'm busy living it. Mm-hmm. It hasn't ended because I'm still alive. And it's something that is going to keep going for me for the rest of my life, because my idea of a shifting perspective globally is every person I interact with is going to pick up something from me. And they in turn will take it, make it their own, and they will impact on somebody else. And it's like the butterfly wings. It starts.
The ripple effect.
Yeah. And it starts going round and round. And that's, as I say, it's a constant ongoing process. So although I may have an underlying goal, even with the one that's behind me, the overall one it's still there. And that's the initial one that I had right in the beginning.
Beautiful. That's really wonderful.
Thank you.
And you are right, you know, because whatever we are doing, we are always impacting people around us. And, you know, if we are impacting them in a positive way, they will do the same for others. So,
yeah.
But let me get back to the horses and your dream maps. How can people who are not around horses, or who they don't have maybe interaction with horses or any facilities around them, how they can benefit from what you are telling us right now, you know, how they can improve or get better at understanding themselves without, you know, having to fly to you?
They're welcome to fly here. I would love to watch.
That would be nice.
Beautiful sunny South Africa. What could be better?
Exactly.
We actually are planning on doing retreats that will work over a weekend, and will also include something and going to see parts of a country, so that you're not just coming here to do a dream map and the horses, because we've got so much in the way of wildlife and national parks, where it's so easy to actually go and see and see the animals. But the other side of it is that the lady and myself are busy developing a pack of cards, and we're going to use those so that basically you will choose a card and that will be the whole, and it will change. So you'll get two or three occasions that you can choose a card and say, okay, well, this horse is what I need to work with for now. And this, let's say, use Jembo as the example. This is the horse that has boundary issues. So I now know that I need to strengthen my boundaries and stop letting people push me around. And then there's another one. His name is Midnight. He's also a miniature, but he's a little bit stockier, and he can be full of nonsense. So if, for example, you pulled a card with Midnight, it would be, okay, maybe I'm being a bit pushy in places, and other people's boundaries are getting infringed. So you know when you see Midnight coming for you, you know that this horse is pitch black. So yes, he could be a little bit intimidating.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. So,
as you know, we have listeners all around the world, and you know, some will get in contact with you. Where can people find you? How they can learn more about what you're doing?
Okay. My website is dream-mapping.com. And on there, it's listed all the workshops. And if there are no dates that are up at the moment, just send me an email and I will keep you informed as to when the next one is. And also, if you're interested in doing an online course, as soon as we've got the cards up and ready, I'm going to be launching that one too.
Awesome.
Just
awesome.
Getting that one sorted.
Awesome. I love vision guards. I use them a lot because, like you said, it brings up the emotions, and you just know what they're telling you. What about your free gift?
I've got a free gift. It's on the same website, and I'm sure Lenka's going to post the link too. It's a freebie on what lights up my soul. It's to give you ideas to inspire you to dream, because sometimes we forget to dream. We get so caught up in the daily grind of going to work, earning a living, coming home, cleaning house, making meals, and everything that it just keeps us going, that we forget how to dream. And we need to dream for ourselves. And once we can be inspired ourselves, we can inspire others as well. So I hope that helps in some way to get you to dream as well.
Awesome. And I usually ask my guests for a special tip or something that, you know, our listeners can do today, tomorrow, with simple steps that can bring them closer to their dream life. And like you said, you know, for me, a dream life is also what we are doing every day, how we are living every moment. I don't like, you know, like workshops that last for years, or discovery, you know, path that are months out long. And what would be your tip, your advice to our listeners? You said dream more, but what else can they do to, you know, to live their dreams?
I think the biggest thing for me has been learning to look after yourself and putting yourself first. Because so often we're running, and we're actually running on empty. So we don't have a chance, and we're underneath, we don't realize exactly how tired we are until we actually stop and have a rest and suddenly realize, yes, we're tired. So it's about doing things for yourself, just for you. It's not selfish. It's absolutely not selfish. It's self-care. And without self-care, you've got very little chance of actually discovering what you want underneath it. And for me, that's the first place to start, is how can I care for myself? What do I need to do for myself? Even if it's just as simple as, I now need to sit down and have a cup of tea without any interruption for the next 5 minutes. 5 minutes can do it.
Yeah, beautiful. Because this comes a lot during my conversations. We forget that we need to take care of ourselves first, And like with everything, dreaming or doing or anything, we are just so under pressure of everyone else's expectations or even our own expectations, that we think that we have to push and do more. And, you know, we are always hearing be more and show up more. And, you know, but what we really need is to be more of ourselves.
Absolutely, yes.
Cool. Yeah, cool. Okay, Carl, thank you for your nice words. And I really hope that you keep doing what you're doing, because you have such a great vision. And, you know, spreading the kindness and spreading the positive around the world is such a great mission. I'm wishing you a lot of great energy with horses and great workshops. And I think that I will definitely look at the horses when I interact with them a bit differently. And, you know, listen more.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can learn from horses. It really is. And just tasting and seeing how the horse interacts with you. If you're in a bad mood, see what happens with the horse. If you're feeling happy and relaxed, see what happens when you're around the horse. And just notice what the horse is doing. And it helps if you've got somebody who knows the horses and understands this is their normal behavior or this is not their normal behavior, so that you can understand as well what the horse is trying to tell you, without putting it into verbal language for you.
Right. Because, yeah, like I said, you know what, you know, what you need to hear, but sometimes we just don't want to.
No.
To listen.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you again. I'm Alinka Tercic, and this was another coffee chat with Dream Life Creators. Talk soon. Bye.